Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 141. My name is John. Before I begin, I really have to take a moment to toast the memory of Norm Macdonald. I'll be honest, I enjoyed his work, but he wasn't on my list of favorite comedians. Some of his stuff just wasn't funny to me. It's not that I didn't get what he was saying or doing. I just didn't think it was all that funny. But then there were times when he was just brilliant. I mean, like in the stratosphere kind of brilliant. It has been amazing hearing the admiration pouring out from people who knew him. I find it impressive that even though he may not have been one of my favorite comedians, he was the favorite of many other comedians. That is telling how esteemed he is among his peers. One thing that has been consistent in the memories people have shared is that he never compromised. He did what he thought was funny, no matter what other people thought. So, even if it was something I didn't think was funny, I damn sure respect him for doing it. Rest in peace, Norm Macdonald. And now, on to this month's podcast. It's an illusion. It's a game. Or reflection of someone else's name. We are told there are two sides to politics in America. On the left, you have the Democrats, and on the right, you have the Republicans. If you take leftist ideology too far, you get communism. If you take right-wing ideology too far, you get fascism. That's the tried-and-true narrative of politicians, historians, and the commonly held belief of the average American. How do you know which side is which? Well, people will say that fascists act like fascists, and communists act like communists. So if you see a bunch of people using fascist tactics, they must be right-wingers, because only right-wingers would do fascist things. If you see a bunch of people using communist tactics, they must be left-wingers, because only left-wingers can do communist things. It seems all very cut and dry, doesn't it? If it's fascist tactics, it must be right-wing people doing it. If it's communist tactics, it must be left-wingers doing it. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. If you follow their logic from that premise, they'll tell you that socialism leads to communism. So if someone is using socialist tactics, then that's a left-winger on a path to the final destination of communism. If you see someone acting like an imperialist or a Nazi, then that must be a right-winger on the way to fascism. Though it's certainly debatable which of those three, imperialism, Nazism, fascism, is the worst. By the way, you notice the right-wing skiers are the three governments of the World War II Axis powers? Imperial Japan, Nazi Germany, Fascist Italy? Why is it a foregone conclusion that socialist and communist tactics are always from the left, and imperialist, Nazi, and fascist tactics are always from the right? I want to peel back some layers on these things. If you look at the tenets and histories of these ideologies, you realize that the lines are not as clear as some people want them to be. National socialists, Nazis, hated socialists and communists. Because of this hatred, it is often assumed that socialists are nothing like national socialists. I mean, seriously, I tried a Google search, why did Hitler hate socialists? And all I got were articles about how socialism is nothing like Nazism. Were Nazis socialist in name only? What made a national socialist a national socialist? I specifically phrase it that way on purpose. We all know what makes a Nazi a Nazi. Hitler's infamous speeches designed to position Jews as the scapegoats for the ills of Germany worked all too well. My grandfather once told me a story of him sitting out in the field with a bunch of other farmhands listening to a radio broadcast of a Hitler speech from Germany. He was translating the speech for everyone since he knew German. As the speech concluded, my grandfather told everyone, "We need to stop this man." In a world where history is rarely something humanity learns very well, the atrocities of the National Socialists are among the most documented and readily recognizable by the general population. Even dictators whose policies have led to the deaths of possibly 10 times as many people are not as well known as Adolf Hitler. Less than 2 months after becoming Chancellor of Germany, Adolf Hitler's regime opened the first concentration camp, which would eventually become a network of camps the National Socialists would take not only Jews, but political opponents and anyone else deemed undesirable in the new culture. Days after that camp was opened, the Enabling Act was passed, giving the Chancellor the power to bypass the system of checks and balances established previously in the country and ignore individual rights. Wait, I want to repeat that last part. The Enabling Act gave the Chancellor the power to ignore individual rights. Jewish businesses were boycotted. Jewish citizens were segregated and eventually rounded up, taken to the camps, and an estimated 6 million were exterminated. Homosexuals, Roma, and political opponents were included in the camps. As Germany invaded other countries and their power spread, some citizens of those nations were also taken to camps. That's the Nazi Germany we all know. It's also all most people know. Everyone talks about what Hitler and the National Socialists did when they took over Germany. No one really talks about how they got there to begin with. I just watched the first part of a documentary on dictators, with much of the focus on Hitler's rise to power. They, like everyone else, spent all their time with the low-hanging fruit, talking about his hateful speeches and stressed the anti-Semitism of the right-wing National Socialist Party. There's even more to Nazism than just the hatred and the genocide. And while those things are undeniably horrific and nightmarish, the side that isn't commonly known is deceptively chilling. Hitler, in specific, and Nazism in general, had a massive disliking for what we would consider both the right and the left. He didn't like the Jews because he believed they created capitalism, and he hated capitalism. He didn't like socialism because he felt it went too far by completely destroying private property rights. National Socialism was a bizarre amalgamation of the two. Private property and business was allowed, but only if it strictly followed government dictates and regulation. If your business was not considered productive, it was not allowed to continue. Nazis wanted to reclaim land they believe had been taken from them. They wanted to promote necessary resources for the nation, so they called for national road construction. Where do you think the Autobahn came from? Affordable automobiles. Civil defense. They set up a national labor board, government-sponsored health care, and farm subsidies. However, farmers again had to follow government dictates and regulation. You had to farm what they considered necessary for the country. You could own property under certain conditions, but again, if it was not considered productive, it was taken by the government. Public services were often privatized, but, and you may notice a pattern here, The government still dictated how the service was run. Nazism believed the needs of the individual must be sacrificed to the needs of the collective. Hitler stated, quote, "Every activity and every need of every individual will be regulated by the collectivity represented by the party," end quote. And, quote, "There are no longer any free realms in which the individual belongs to himself," end quote. Hence, a stronger police force was developed to make sure everyone conformed to the collective. Anti-capitalism, private property and business regulated by the government, national control of infrastructure and industry, government health care, sacrifice of the individual to the collective. Do any of these sound like right-wing causes? Last I checked, those were all very well entrenched within and championed by left-wing politicians and their sycophants. These are all things championed by the Nazi Party and or openly espoused by Adolf Hitler himself. While we're at it, why did Hitler hate the Jews so much? Because he thought they created capitalism. He viewed Jews as the rich, and that they were the ones responsible for the economic, and by extension all other, problems Germany was facing in the years between the world wars. Remind me again, is it the left wing or the right wing who blames, hates, and seeks to destroy the rich? Have you noticed where much of the anti-Semitism is coming from in modern American politics? Some of the most overt examples have been coming from the diversity-loving left. Now, let's look at the State of the Union today with our continued panic and myopia over COVID. Where do you find people advocating for the government to ignore individual rights? I ran across this interesting line in reading about the history of the National Socialists. Quote, "Far-right themes in Nazism include the argument that superior people have the right to dominate other people and purge society of supposed inferior elements," end quote. Wait, so this is a far-right theme? Dominating people and purging society of supposed inferior elements is far-right? If that's the case, you better start talking to the left-wingers out there who propose denying health care to people who chose not to get COVID vaccinations. Obviously, you don't notice many of them mocking and celebrating the death of any unvaccinated person who dies of COVID. Perhaps you've missed those who suggest that the unvaccinated be rounded up and isolated from the rest of society, or those who believe that government has the right to force anyone to take the vaccine against their will. Sacrifice of individual rights to the collective. Allow self-proclaimed superior people to isolate and or purge those deemed inferior. It's not exclusive to the far right or Nazism. I can hear it now. How dare you compare the righteousness of COVID safety to the vile Nazi regime? Or however you want to phrase their supercilious fopping. The Nazis started with the little things. I'm not talking about Nazi Germany in the throes of World War II. I'm talking Germany in the years leading up to and the early days of the Nazi regime. They pointed fingers, assigned blame, and more importantly, they sanctified their supporters so when the time came for the atrocities, the supporters readily looked the other way. Aw, man, that really sucks they're taking the neighbors away. They were always nice to us, but they're the ones the media and the government has been telling us are the cause of all our problems, so I guess they gotta go. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Those words, or more accurately, the words that was translated from, were written by a German Lutheran pastor named Martin Niemöller. He was an anti-communist who supported Hitler. But after Hitler came to power and promoted what he called positive Christianity, which mixed Nazi ideology with elements of Christianity, Niemöller realized his error and led a group of clergymen denouncing Hitler. Niemöller was arrested in 1937 and eventually sent to a concentration camp where he was freed by Allied forces in 1945. He knew of what he spoke. Fuck the socialists, take them away. I'm not one of them, so who cares? Fuck the trade unionists, round them up. I'm not one of them, so who cares? Oh, fuck me, there's no one left to defend my capture. Folks, if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I am absolutely not a socialist. You know I do not support trade unions. I believe there is a creator, but I absolutely do not participate in any religion, Judaism or otherwise. Yet I also hold the belief that if someone wants to do any of those things or join any of those groups, they should be allowed to do so, so long as they don't force others to go along with them. I certainly wouldn't support any group to be rounded up and forced to live in isolation. Instead of hopping on social media and calling everyone you disagree with a Nazi and a fascist, maybe you should take a few moments to learn what those and other collective ideologies have done, and learn the one lesson that we all need to learn before it's too late. You have to support the individual rights of everyone. Even people you disagree with. Even people you think are dead wrong in their beliefs. Even people you may fear. If you don't, there will be no one to speak out for you when the pendulum swings back and you find your rights violated. Think back to 2019, just 2 years ago, and ask yourself what percentage of your fellow citizens would advocate for people who did not vaccinate themselves to be denied medical care. Now look at the United States in 2021, right now, and ask yourself the same question. We have found what others would do in the time of insanity, in the time of crisis. Unfortunately, many of them would have no problem becoming part of the sanctified and turning their back while others are pulled from their homes and sent away. And I know a lot of people don't want to accept this, but the vast majority of those proposing those ideas are currently on the left. And I'm running out of time this month and won't have time to get to the hypocritical tyranny coming from the right. It starts with the little things. Ah, they're coming for the socialists, but I don't care. I'm not a socialist. They're coming for the unvaccinated? I don't care. I got my jabs. Let them take the rights of one group here and another group there. But it doesn't matter because you don't like those people or you're not one of them. Eventually you see a place with unarmed citizenry, like Australia, with police assaulting the unmasked. And you see a glimpse of our future. There are people in the United States who have no problem with such tactics, because they're on what they believe to be the righteous side, just like the German people did 80 years ago. Oh, but Hitler was only using the party. That's what I hear the academics say. He was using those good ideas to sneak his way into power. Well, first off, I would always challenge centralized government control of utilities, businesses, and property, because those are never good ideas. Second, Hitler and the National Socialists were trying to find middle ground on opposing socioeconomic philosophies. And what he came up with is hauntingly similar to the government championed by both major political parties in the United States. They found both capitalism and socialism too extreme, so they attempted to merge the two. Hitler rose to power after finding common ground with the Nazi platform and his ideology. Once he had control, he could have changed things he disagreed with, but he still promoted the party agenda. Besides, a person who says there are no longer any free realms in which the individual belongs to himself is going to be a supporter of things like government-run healthcare and education. No, National Socialists were not socialists, but they were absolutely not on opposite ends of the political spectrum. If anything, National Socialism is a step away from socialism, just as socialism is a step away from communism. What about fascism? What exactly is fascism? According to Wikipedia, fascism is, quote, characterized by dictatorial power, forcible suppression of opposition, and strong regimentation of society and of the economy, end quote. As fascism grew in Italy in the decades leading up to World War II, a volunteer militia group formed that was loyal to the fascist party. As Benito Mussolini rose to power, they became more and more violent and intimidating towards anyone opposing their leader. Because of their uniforms, they were known as the Black Shirts. Now let's think about this for a moment. Can you think of modern examples of government in black uniforms using intimidation and violence against people? Maybe the recent standoff in Melbourne comes to mind, with the draconian government mandates turning Victoria into a police state. Perhaps something closer to home in America, where black is the color of choice for police intimidation. But wait. The Italian Black Shirts were a volunteer militia. You know, not official police or military, just a bunch of people who were loyal to their form of government. How were the protesters in Portland dressed 2 years ago? Google search. All black! What were they known for? Intimidating and beating people who disagreed with them. And what did they call themselves? Antifa, which stands for anti-fascist. Here we have a left-wing volunteer militia dressed in black, trying to spread fear amongst political opposition through forcible suppression. And they're doing it to try to dictate their vision of society and the economy to the rest of the country. But you know, I didn't read the first part of the definition from Wikipedia. The full sentence reads, "Fascism is a form of far-right authoritarian ultranationalism characterized by dictatorial power, forcible suppression of opposition, and strong regimentation of society and of the economy." Anyone think Antifa is far right? Anyone still think forcible suppression of opposition is exclusive to the far right? I'm telling you, Antifa is fascism. There's a quote from Benito Mussolini making its way around the internet. "Fascism should more properly be called corporatism, since it is the merger of state and corporate power." There's only one problem. There's no known record of Mussolini ever saying anything like that. It would be poignant especially since corporatism seems to be how modern America works and is supported by both Republicans and Democrats alike. If anything, as I've mentioned in passing earlier and laid out extensively in podcast number 90, corporatism is nearly synonymous with the economic policy of Nazism. I told you it was deceptively chilling. If you think about it, now the push of anti-capitalism, private property and business regulated by government, national control of infrastructure and industry, government healthcare, and sacrifice of the individual to the collective take on a whole new dimension. History is repeating itself. What if aspects of the traditionally considered right-wing Nazism and fascism have been and are being adapted and applied to left-wing ideology? What would it sound like? Again, I remind you, anti-capitalism, private property and business regulated by government, national control of infrastructure and industry, government-run healthcare, sacrifice of the individual liberties to the collective, scapegoating the rich. Holy shit. That pretty much sounds like any and every speech given to us by left-wing politicians for the past generation. What if the people we see as left-wingers are not really left-wingers? Listen to speeches from Kennedy. In just a couple of generations, the Democrats have gone from "ask not what your country can do for you" to "tell us what you want and we'll tax others to pay for it. All you got to do is vote for us." You can stick to the old ways and say fascism is a right-wing problem and communism is a left-wing problem. Unfortunately, if you're stuck in that old way of thinking, you'll miss that everyone else uses the same tactics. Every team has everyone else's playbook. Maybe that's the point. Maybe they don't have each other's playbook. Maybe there's only one team with one playbook. Maybe it's not left versus right. Maybe it's freedom versus tyranny. Maybe left versus right is just an illusion to make you believe you have a side championing your ideals when they're really working against you. The memes are all over the place on Twitter, but I find at Sally Mayweather, aka Sal the Agorist, to post an abundance of them. The top part of the meme shows a past tweet from someone that can be anywhere from a few weeks to a year old. The lower part of the meme shows a recent tweet from the same person contradicting themselves. For example, a left-winger has a tweet from last year saying they're not going to trust Trump's COVID vaccine. And a year later, the same person proudly supports Biden's mandates on the same fucking vaccine. If Donald Trump had somehow retained the presidency, you can damn well bet right now every Republican would have lined up for the shot, every red state governor would be boasting about their vaccination rate, while every Democrat would be refusing to take the vaccine and resisting the narrative because they don't trust what's presented by the government. It has never been and will never be about your safety. It's always about spreading petty divisiveness, fear, and never letting a crisis go to waste. When the government's boot is on your throat, whether it is a left boot or a right boot, is of no consequence. I said it before and I'll say it again. This country is done for. The values of individual freedom used to be the cornerstone of American ideology. Take a look at the Bill of Rights. Some people say that the Republicans and Democrats have taken that and the Constitution and torn it to shreds. If only it were that decent. They've taken the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, beaten, raped, stabbed, and left them dying in the gutter. The only one of the Bill of Rights that they haven't managed to touch is the Third Amendment, which prohibits the government from forcing civilians to house members of the military. It wouldn't surprise me that in some dark, smoky back room somewhere, the elitists on both sides are making bets on who can be the first one to break it. Our rights have been taken away from us, and there simply aren't enough people willing to stand against the erosion. Too many people have come to accept the ham-fisted governance at local, state, and national levels. Too many people support government if it enforces their version of morality. We're done. It's just a matter of time. I'm still going to talk. I'm still going to voice my opinion. I'm still going to proverbially scream at brick walls. But make no mistake, I am raging against the dying of the light. My plan is to speak out as long as I can. And if I time it just right, I will draw my last breath minutes before the American Gestapo kicks down my door. Whether the boot that kicks it down is a left boot or a right boot is of no consequence to me. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.